This is Casual Conversation, where Shahjahan and I will just talk about stupid stuff.
And we're just going to see if we can work together.
Yeah, we can work together. What if we can't stand each other? What would happen then, right?
How are we going to do a show about love if we hate each other? No,
you know, but that's interesting you say that. That is a facet of love, right?
Yeah.
Toxic love.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking about, I was planning on telling this story or something at some point. I figure I could just tell it now because we're both happen to be Desi or brown, you know, from Pakistani backgrounds and stuff. So and I dealt a lot with this in my last show, but, you know, like what was my, I think the early experiences dating and stuff, you know? And so for me as like a first generation, first son, you know, I have two younger sisters.
There were a lot of expectations.
For sure, yeah. But like, and then trying to kind of, you know, with this, I think it looks different for different people, but the whole thing with like, I think some families are cool with dating and stuff. Mine definitely wasn't initially. I had to hide, you know, going to school dances and stuff. And my first, I think, first date is kind of a classic, classically embarrassing Khan family story. I had worked up the courage to ask out this girl. Her name was Katie. And we decided to go to a movie in Marlboro, Massachusetts. So, you know, it was like, I mean, I'm still kind of awkward. You can ask my now wife, Lauren, but at the time, much more so. So I had like, you know, gel. I was 16. It was like, whatever, early 2000s. I had like gel in my hair and stuff. And so I had probably like a Tommy Hilfiger shirt on or something. I don't know. And probably some corduroys. And so we got to the movie theater. First thing that happened is we walked in. I don't remember what the movie was. It's the thing that I do remember vividly is that as soon as we walked in, I heard this sound of people like saying my name or something. And I looked up and my sister Mariam was in the exact same theater with all of her friends.
Oh, that's brutal. That's bad.
So yeah, we were 16, so she must have been 14. Maybe 16. Yes, she must have been 14, middle schooler. Turned out, so that the whole time the movie's happening, my sister is literally like two rows up from us. So I'm just like sitting there and thinking that this is the worst thing ever. Then the movie ends and we go outside and I very reluctantly like tried to hold Katie's hand and she took my hand. And so we just were walking. We weren't saying anything to each other because I think she could feel the tension, you know, within me or whatever. And so we're just like holding hands, walking out of the movie theater at the Solomon Pond Mall in Marlboro. And who's there to pick up Mariam, my sister, and her friends? My mom.
Oh, my God.
It was like a high school movie or something. Like, you know, the crowds parted and Amma's just standing there. Just like glaring at me in her, it's just like searing, and she just had this scowl on her face that was like, "How could you do this? How could you do whatever? Like betray me?" And that was my first date ever.
I grew up in a completely different environment, right? So at 16 and 17, you don't date, or even if you do, again, you hide it, and you hide it in a way where there's like, you can't meet in public places. You have to choose certain places to meet. It's all very, I guess, secretive in a way. And I don't think I dated in my teenage years. But even later, I think in Pakistan, the concept of dating is very different from dating in the U.S. So even if you are dating, you're not really dating. You're just going out, hanging out with someone.
Are you going out in like groups? Maybe like groups of friends?
I'm trying to think, how did I do it? Even if you weren't in groups, you wouldn't like acknowledge that you're dating. You would just hang out. But again, it may be different now. I am old, so maybe that's why my memories of dating and how it panned out in Pakistan are so different. But I can speak to what I expect my kids to do here. So I am not as strict as your mom. So I am okay with them dating, but then I have certain restrictions on who they should be dating, when they can date, and what does that dating mean? Although I don't think my kids are going to follow all these rules and all these norms. But, you know, we can hope, right?
So that's interesting to me because it's, you know, it's still, I think for us, was secretive also. But you're right that it was different because it was just secretive for us. You know what I mean? Like we were the ones doing it secretly. Like it's all around us. It was happening. You know, people were.
And it is quite normalized, right? So it may be secretive for you because you don't want to share it with your family.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's a date.
Yeah. It's like, quote, abnormal that we have to.
And I'm digressing a bit, but do you think it's too much pressure on kids here to start dating as young as, what, 13, 14? Why is it that everybody is expected to date so early on in their life?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't, it's interesting. So I'm not a parent, right, like right. you. So, but I do, I guess I think about these things in terms more of, I guess my nephew is only 6, so I'm assuming he's not dating yet.
Yeah, I hope not.
But I mean, you know, I don't know. Like you hear these things all the time that like, you know, while on the one hand, you know, some people would say like, oh, Pakistan, it's so like, quote unquote, sexually repressive, this and that. But you hear the opposite sometimes of like, well, here, sex and
it's so objectified.
It's so objectified. Yeah, it's so objectified. It's so like not demystified, but like.
It's in your face.
Yeah.
It's like you can't escape it.
Yeah. I think I definitely felt pressure, you know, in terms of, like I said, I think being awkward and stuff. And some of that is just being a teenager in many ways because you are awkward. But like, yeah, I think in terms of I'm trying to think of like my best friends in high school, they all seemed to be dating. It just became a thing that like, oh, this is just what we do now. And there's some manual that everybody else kind of has, you know, in terms of how to do it. And maybe their parents are showing them or encouraging. I remember one of the early kind of school dances I snuck out to. So I lived next to this kid named Alex. He was just a few doors down. Huh. And we snuck to his house so that his dad would drive us to Idlewild Farms in Acton so that we could buy flowers.
Wow.
For our like dates. This is literally like 7th grade. So I hadn't even like been on a date. It was like, I think it was like the first school. But it was such a thing that it was like, oh, there was something about like, oh, not only do you not have to hide this from your parents, but like they're supporting you and this is how they met. And at the time, like, you know, people would ask me obviously like, you know, well, how did your parents meet? And I'm like, well, they just found out they were going to be married to each other. And again, it's like, it's not that weird, right? Because for you, it's very common to
it
have
it. It is common, but I didn't do that.
Yeah.
So my husband and I, we met in college. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we were dating. I think we were. And that's how we met. And then after 2 years, we decided that this is it, right? And then we involved our parents. And then there was this whole backstory about how my father didn't want me to marry him. And there was this like 6-month period where my father wouldn't agree. And in our culture, your parents have to agree for you to marry someone. You can't do it without their consent.
Yeah.
I was just, oh my gosh, those 6 months were brutal. They were so bad. And then my mom had to convince him of all the good traits that my current husband has.
Wow.
And then eventually he came around, but he wasn't happy about it even then.
Is this still like a running joke in your family?
It is. It is. There's this whole story about our marriage and the wedding day and how pissed he was and he didn't want to participate in anything. But when I think about my kids, again, completely different culture. They are navigating dating in the U.S. and both my daughters are teenagers.
Yeah.
In some ways, I don't even expect them to marry whoever I want them to marry.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Right? I knew what my parents would approve of, quote unquote, like whether they did or not, that's a different story. But at the same time, I still want them to preserve some part of our culture in the way they approach dating.
I see.
Like maybe it's like hybrid dating. I don't know.
Do you have like, let's say, if it's, you know, do you have like a Pakistani community that you hang with and socialize with where the kids hang out and get together and maybe you don't know that they're dating behind your back?
I wish I knew more Pakistanis. I do, but we don't hang out as much.
Yeah.
I don't think. So for now, where my kids are, they think that Pakistanis are not good looking. And it really pisses me off because I'm like,
I mean, if I'm on it, if I'm honest with you, I think I probably thought the same stuff when I was a kid because I was in an all white town.
Guys, I'm so mean.
It's an internalized like white supremacy stuff. I think I talked about it a little bit on my in season one, you know, and my mom also tells that story where she's like, you know, you came home once when you were in kindergarten or something and you said, Amma, can you get me some soap and wash this color out of my skin so that it can be white like everybody else's? But no, the beauty standards thing is super true. And, you know, it still manifests itself in a lot of different ways. I mean, I like to think that I've moved beyond lots of that stuff. But, you know, if I'm honest about, you know, insecurities about like body hair and male body image and all these different things that are still, I think, yeah, I feel like these things are being redefined and stuff for sure.
You know, you're absolutely right about this like whitewashing and setting these standards where you're approximating yourself to whiteness, right?
Yeah.
And what beauty standards look like. I see that with my daughters. Now, the irony is that my older one, at least, she recognizes that she's not white and she's very proud of it, right? So she's very proud of her skin color. She knows she's brown. She, in fact, reasserts it in everything that she does. But at the same time, deep down, as you said, I think somewhere in her mind, white people or whiteness is, you know, the ultimate beauty standard that everybody wants to achieve or approximate themselves to.
Does this play any part in it? Like if, now you said, for example, maybe they don't interact with that many other Pakistani kids.
Yeah.
So so the reason I ask that is because I wonder like if, since it's so few, if they like had a shitty interaction with someone, right?
Hmm.
And that's the thing that sticks out, you know, like sticks out in their mind. And then that then is sort of unfairly, through no fault of their own, but displaced onto like Pakistanis as a whole. They're like, oh, Pakistanis are this way, or which means, oh, brown men must be this way.
This way, yeah.
Do you think that's like a function of of that too?
Yeah, that's interesting.
I wonder that about myself, you know.
But, and I hope it's okay for me to ask you this, but have you ever dated non-white person? Oh, you have?
Yeah.
What was the interaction like?
I think for me, like, because there was a lot of other stuff going on in my early years, like addiction stuff and a lot of mental health stuff. I definitely like did date more white people than non-white people, if that's like the. Now, I didn't date that much in my life, maybe less than 6 people total.
Hmm.
So it's not that large of a sample size. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the person I ended up with, she's like aware of, you know, it's interesting. Like we both went to, I got to take my current partner, Lauren, to Pakistan last year.
Nice.
And I remember talking to my mom once about, and having that discussion with her of like, you know, were you ever like long-term, you know, because I think back in the day, I always felt that she wanted me to like end up with a Desi person, you
Your
know,
mom.
My mom. But for her, she was like, you know, I actually didn't really care, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that it was somebody that, like, wouldn't think Pakistan was weird or backwards. And in Lauren's case, she actually grew up with 2 really close South Asian friends.
Mm.
So she, like, knew stuff. And she's like, you know, it's not a thing.
Because here's the thing. I don't want them to date or eventually be married to somebody who's patronizing towards Pakistan and Pakistanis.
Yeah.
But beyond that, you're right. I am not too concerned. I want them to be happy at the end of the day. But at the same time, I guess it's human nature. We gravitate towards people who look like us and who speak the language. And I should ask you this because you are in an interracial marriage. In my mind, marriage as is so tough. It's work in progress. It requires a lot of, you know, compromises and understanding and sacrifices or whatever. And if you come from different backgrounds, it adds on. Does it? Like, what do you think?
So in our case, I feel like we sort of lucked out because both Lauren and I are kind of, I want to say, like, the weirdos in our family. Like, I became a punk rock musician and, you know, she's a punk rock neuroscientist. But yeah, but like we have so many other, and, you know, we don't have kids. We probably are not going to. We might adopt at some point. I think we both realized that we just don't really want to do it from the beginning.
Huh.
I'm not sure, you know, never say never. But yeah, we kind of like, we haven't had, in terms of compromises, we really haven't had that many because we're actually so similar in other ways that it's just, it's the, I guess the interracial element is an enrichment rather than a conflict. And you know, and it's, and again, it was honestly for me, even I remember once sitting with a cousin of mine. So this would have been, I was, Lauren and I had been together for probably 2 or 3 years at this point. And I was, and I had taken my first trip to Pakistan in about 10 years for another cousin's wedding, speaking of relationships and everything. And my cousin at the time, he was changing careers. He was kind of like starting a family farm. So we're sitting there on the outskirts of Lahore in this, you know, sitting on a charpai.
Right.
Eating, you know, roti and gosht and stuff that's like from the farm. So you couldn't get any more Pakistan than we are at this moment. It's a it's a very hot day outside. And I'm sitting there and, you know, he's asking me about like, you know, so what are you up to? You're, you know, and I'd been sober for a little while at that point. Am I doing music and stuff again? He's like, so are you like with anyone? I'm like, yeah, you know, I've been seeing this girl for a while. She's really awesome. And at the time, I honestly wasn't even sure if marriage was something that I was going to do or whatever. But like, I was like, you know, I just, I think I'm, I see that this could be the person. And if I'm honest with you, the only thing that, it's not even that it bothers me. It's just something that I think about because it's a thing, is she's not Desi. And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, do you think it would guarantee a happy marriage
it
just
doesn't.
Because, he's like, dude, is she a good person? I'm like, yeah. He's like, does she get along with your mom? I'm like, yeah, she actually, they both love each other. Do you get along with her mom? I'm like, yeah, we both kind of love each other too. He's like, who cares? And it took him, he's maybe 15 years younger than me. The moment he said that was when I think any sort of doubt I had about that stuff mostly went away.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. As you probably already know by now, we talk a lot about mental health on this podcast and the importance of taking the time to take care of yourself. In fact, we dedicated an entire season to it. And there are so many different ways to do that, whether it's meditation or getting a massage. But let's be honest, ice cream can only go so far, and sometimes what you really need is to connect with someone. On previous, I've been open about the fact that therapy has helped me a lot when it comes to managing my mental health. If you've been struggling with stress, anxiety, or if you just want to learn effective preventative tools, BetterHelp might be for you. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's convenient, affordable, and you can start with your therapist in under 48 hours of signing up. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about and take the leap. Again, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Immigrantly listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/listener. You know what surprises me in this is how you still had some doubts. And that's where this whole idea of navigating different cultures comes into play, right? Because at the end of the day, there is this part of you that still wants to maybe please your parents or
yes.
be part of that community. It's like, you know, it's your rite of passage. And
yeah.
I am pretty sure my daughters will go through that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, because obviously I grew up in a predominantly
yeah.
Muslim homogenous community, society. So for me, it was not as big a deal. But I can see that happening to my kids, where even if they were dating or even if they wanted to, they would still be hesitant until somebody like your cousin, you know, tells them just to follow their heart.
Yeah. And I think that, like, for, I guess in my case, like the first gen kids or whatever, like, we are balancing all of these different things that this, maybe the stuff that people in our culture would joke as the ABCD thing or whatever. But like, for many years, it becomes a, it's a source of conflict. And yeah, and again, I, this is kind of what I talked a lot about in my, my show about, but like the idea that like, oh man, I'm all these different things and it's a problem. Right. And I'm, and this like fragmentation, I will never reconcile the Pakistani amount with the American amount, with the Muslim amount, with the musician amount. And like all of these things are going to, and I'm always going to be this like confused person. And then at some point, hopefully you realize that, no, actually you can be all of the things at the same time. And, you know, and luckily, like as I was realizing a lot of this was kind of when I met Lauren too. And, you know, like we both just kind of clicked from there. So, and I don't know how much of this also has to do with like our culture of like feeling like you're missing shit all the time and constant capitalism, whatever, and like trying to keep up with people and being on your phone and like, you know, or thinking that like, oh, whatever I have is not good enough type thing. So as a person also in recovery from, you know, substances and stuff, I can, you know, think that that probably had something to do with some of these insecurities too. But yeah, at a certain point, like just the other day, like, you know, we were sitting and playing video games together and like it was the best time. And we've been together for 9 years. And this is like one of our favorite things to do now. Still. And yeah, it's just it's a very like hopefully you're with some we just support each other like emotionally. And I can talk to her about this stuff. You know, she like gets that there's like some brown stuff I have to deal with sometimes. And it's not like, you know, it's not a thing. So it's not, you know, and I feel very supported.
And I'm sure there is stuff that she deals with or she has to deal with that you are learning.
Yeah.
Because to me, marriage is irrespective of who you marry or even companionship, right? Mm-hmm. It's a profound learning curve. It requires a lot of, I guess, learning on the job kind of thing. You could have all these expectations going in, and then once you're in it, you realize how different it is.
Yeah.
Good or bad. It could be either, right? I guess for me, I just want my kids to be happy at the end, end of the day. I want them to make choices that they don't regret. And even if they do, they move on with dignity and respect. And I think that's what we can hope for. I can hope for my kids and all the second-gen kids out there.
Yeah. Yeah, like my nephew too, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I remember not this on this trip, but the last trip, I was waiting for the A train or something. And on the three-screen ad behind me, I see an ad for this app called Muzmatch.
Seriously?
And I was like, I had to do a double take because I was like,
maybe I should share that app with my kids.
I mean, it's maybe not the best name because it sort of sounds like a racial slur. But
it does.
But still, I was just like, wow, to go from hiding dating to having a Muslim. I mean, I remember the first few iterations of
this Muslima.com.
Muslima.com.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think the first one, the first one that I remember from Pakistan was Naseeb.com, which was actually my bandmate, Basim, his cousin. It was his app that he had made. This is way back in the
day. And that's for Pakistan.
I don't know if it was just, I thought it was like Muslims, but I honestly don't know. I don't know. Not to like South Asian center Islam again, but yeah, but yeah, I remember being in the subway, seeing this bright purple ad, and I just was like, wow.
I love it.
Shit is different now.
It is important.
This is incredible.
It is so important to normalize that. Are parents' expectations different for, you know, girls versus boys, people who identify as male versus female?
Yeah.
Are they different? Was it different in your case, in your household?
Mm-hmm. Are you asking
me? Yeah, I'm asking.
Oh, 100%. 100%. No, I mean, the male privilege that I have had is speaks volumes. I mean, I was in an interracial marriage. It was pretty smooth, you know, smooth. Like, I didn't really. The only thing that came up for us was in the actual wedding itself, my dad.
Rituals?
The rituals.
Okay.
So me and Lauren didn't give a shit really what, I mean, about. It was, and the other thing I realized that the big difference is it's, I think for our, the cultures that we come from, I'll say, it's maybe more about the wedding is about the families. It's not about the individuals necessarily.
It's not.
That's not really the, for us in a way, I think the wedding was for the families, but it's not like we all, like our families don't hang out all the time. You know, they're definitely close, but like we don't, it doesn't feel in that same way, you know, the whole like in-law thing or whatever type deal. But like for the actual Shadi itself, the only thing my dad was really insisting on, and maybe not even my mom as much, but he's like, I really want there to be a nikah. And I was like, look, I'm going to leave that part up to Lauren. Like neither of us is, you know, I identify as Muslim. Lauren is not religious in any way. And I actually, the funny thing is that I had made it up in my head to be a bigger deal than it ended up being. So I remember talking to Lauren a few weeks before, and I was like, listen, so there's this thing that like, it kind of is going to sound like you will be like converting to Islam, but you won't really, but maybe. And she was like, wait, so like, you mean like where like a priest would say some shit, he's going to say some shit. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh yeah, I'll do that. I don't care. Like it's for them, you know, for them. So it's not, you know, but then, I mean, the thing that ended up happening was it was supposed to be in English. We met the imam. He agreed to do the thing in English. And then the day of the wedding, he just does it.
He backtracked.
He might have forgotten or something. Oh. So we're sitting there on the thing and like he starts saying it all in Arabi, you know, in Arabic. And that's a whole other discussion about speaking a language you don't really understand that I have opinions about. But so that was the only real hang up. But so that's my story. If you talk to my sisters, it's a lot different. My youngest sister didn't want any kind of religious anything at all. And, you know, I think that was, it was more of an issue, you know, for sure. I think that my whatever forays into dating, I thought I had to hide stuff. They definitely had to hide more than I did.
Yeah, but what, from what I understand, I think you were okay either ways, right? So you were like, whatever, right? If my parents are okay, if they want to do it, fine. I don't care, but if they, then I'm fine with it. But your sister, was she like, no way, it's not happening?
Yeah, for her, she just, you know, and it, and she, you know, she didn't, she's 8 years younger than me, right? My youngest sister, Noor Jahan, and she just doesn't, you know, we didn't go to, I learned a lot of this while I was interviewing her for my other podcast, where, you know, we just didn't, around the time that we, that she became a teenager, we stopped going to Pakistan as much, right? And she didn't speak the language as much as we did growing up. And she just didn't have that much of a connection to that Pakistani side of her, to the Pakistani or the Muslim side.
But does that make any difference, though? I sometimes feel you may feel like shit doing something that you think is not part of your culture or identity, whatever. But you'll still do what you want to do, whether you hang out with community, whether you go to Pakistan often or not.
I wouldn't want to answer on behalf of Nuna, but I think that I definitely, definitely she struggled with like a lot of that, of that stuff. And, you know, maybe not maybe the shame element, but definitely the feeling like, you know, having to hide stuff, you know, and not that I didn't, but I don't think I had to. I know that I didn't, it maybe didn't represent the same kind of thing for her.
That's interesting.
The sister in the middle, meanwhile, is like pretty Desi. Like, so she's pretty, you know, kind of more, that element of her identity is more prominent. And, it, you know, pretty much after high school, she just only hung out with, you know, other Desi people. And that's kind of, it's always been her thing.
Do you think it has anything to do with this whole notion of where you gravitate towards, who you like? It's probably intrinsic in some ways. It's just, it comes to you naturally. It can be tailored, or it obviously it is impacted by external circumstances and where you live and where you grow up. I see both my daughters. One is so vocal about her identity, her Muslim identity, her Pakistani-American identity. Sometimes she sounds more Pakistani than me, which is crazy. My younger one, she couldn't care less. Like, for her, it doesn't matter. And they both grew up in the same household. They are growing up in the same household, right? The the values we've passed on to them, we tried to pass on the same to both. I like this, Rajan. This
Good
was
job.
So much fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great job. Yeah,
I think we can do this.
Yeah, we can
I think
do
it's
that.
Be all
we
right.
won't drive each other crazy. Or
no.
even if we do, we'll
nee,
do
nee,
it
nee,
in
nee.
A good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope our listeners, if we are releasing this as an episode, like this episode, and they'll come back next week, listen to our official launch of season 18.
Absolutely.
Do you want to say something else?
Oh my God. I'm on the spot now. I'm so bad at this. No, it's awesome. Thank you for having me on Immigrantly.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And then it's just really cool. I've never co-hosted a show. How bad could it be?